let me tell you about our exciting new partnership with Danny Pirate Studios. It is the Pants People's source for miniatures, terrain, and all your painting needs. Browse Danny's treasure chest of a gallery. And if you can't find the booty you seek, reach out to Danny himself in the Fantasy Pants Discord server. And now Pants People get 15% off your purchase on DannyPirateStudios.com with the code FANTASYPANTS. That's Danny with two N's, PirateStudios.com.
Successful revolution on Saint-Étienne, and all reports in the world seem to be positive. Speaker Artavazda and his fellow Celestials continue to guide Saint-Étienne through its transitory period. Some elements of disquiet have been rooted out and sent to the Sky Prison, but a steady peace is overall set into place. But the same can't be said for all our worlds. The revolution on Saint-Étienne has sent out shockwaves felt throughout the Concord, and some rather villainous elements have taken to the idea. Ankar and Sengar have seen the rise of two revolutionary groups, the Silent Roar, who have long troubled Artash's reign, as well as a new, more violent group known as the Ashen Heirs. Revolution has sparked in the world of Nuari as well, leading to an absolute tragedy. Terrorists clad in jelly dye-stained aprons have recently seen to the murder of Prince of Coin Amal Mata. These dangerous individuals call themselves the Bloodletters and state that their mission is to drain the poisonous greed from the streets of Zelda. The Merchant King's police and force, known as the Silent Verse, are taking this matter gravely serious. We can only hope these Bloodletters are rooted out and caught swiftly as the March of Vice begins in just a matter of days. We can only pray that Nuari's greater celebration does not play host to more such tragedy. Damn, I'm good.
Dude, you just dropped
timing. That's like the 10th time you've got perfect timing.
Yes, the timing was good, but more importantly, you just dropped a bunch of stuff on us.
Yeah.
Like, before we hit record, you were like, oh, we should banter. What do you guys want to banter about? We haven't done that in a minute. Hold on, let me just drop bombs. There are revolutions and murders and coups. And
this is on Nuari, and we're not there right now.
All right, well.
It has nothing to do with you guys. Don't worry about it. Huh? Don't worry about it.
Guarantee.
I'm quite worried,
dude. This is not this beer. You know exactly what it is, too.
What?
It's a
what?
It's a beer with a label that I like, but the beer inside it is one that I don't.
Oh no! Here,
from a work switch up.
We'll switch it up.
Oh, you're like, dude, MVP. Someone give this man a button.
This is probably
no.
Yes,
he has four.
Come on,
no,
come on.
Use some buttons.
Come on, no.
Fine.
I'm gonna use half of my current buttons to negate your one button that you're going to use to try to kill John Franklin. Cat's out of the bag.
Damn, that's pretty good.
So
yeah,
nasty.
Oh yeah.
All right.
In May, the Pants People, if they so choose, could come and give us a button of their own.
Oh,
because we are going to be at a thing.
Steven,
we are.
What thing?
Oh yes, what thing? What thing?
We are going to be at Mountain Mania, which is a tabletop gaming convention. Well, it's more than just... Oh, no. Yeah, it's tabletop. Yeah. They're going to have trading card games, magic, all sorts of crazy stuff. And this is going to take place at the Burke Mountain Resort and Convention Center. And we are going to be there as vendors. We're going to perform a live episode from May 10th to May 12th. And it's going to be... I mean, for us, this is huge.
Massive.
This is really cool. The people from Burke Mountain reached out to us because they heard about us through Reckless Nerd Out Nights, and it's been a wonderful connection. And actually, through us, Burke Mountain, who's hosting Mountain Mania, reached out to our friends in North Carolina at Homebrew Coffee Co. And Homebrew yes. Coffee Co. is flying up to sponsor a coffee hour at the convention.
Fucking insane.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
Totally wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The connections, man. I mean, it's so weird just stepping foot into this, like, this real like the cyberverse that we weren't really privy to before, and we're meeting so many amazing people. It's yeah, I'm gonna puke because I'm so nervous about it all. But also I'm really happy and excited. David, so puke. Yeah, come by and watch me puke.
It's gonna be a great show.
Yeah, so if you're interested and you have any way or ability or interest in getting to Vermont, which I know for most of the country is very far out of the way, look up the Burke Mountain Resort and Convention Center, find their Mountain Mania event, and hopefully we'll see you there, because we're going to be there.
We're going to be there. Just drop that radio voice on us. Damn. All right. Where's that been hiding? yeah. It's exciting. Hopefully we're going to run a little, kind of one shot session. We're going to use these characters, but kind of like our last two episodes, we're going to do something a little more self-enclosed. A world, one of the new worlds of my design, a little one-time adventure there. And I think it's going to be a really cool time.
Yeah. So, we're imagining that most of the people there who are going to be sitting in and listening won't be regular listeners and will be new to our show. So we want to do something that's true to, you know, Fantasy Pants with our characters and our setting and everything, but is inclusive to them who haven't heard the show before. And it's all on David.
Danny's going wild down there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to puke, but hey, that's all I got.
Well,
come
and support David if you can.
Come support David.
He could use some friendly faces in the crowd. They're all going to be friendly faces, though. Everyone's going to be there to watch us and have a good time. Everyone's going to want to have fun. So, yeah.
Yeah. Stage fright. Am I right? Speaking of stage fright, that sort of moves us into the topic of this current episode we're going into now. Now, I hope it wasn't too jarring just sort of jumping into the middle of a scenario with that last brief arc. I hope it wasn't too wild and crazy and jarring for everybody, because we're going to do it again right here, right now. You guys ready for this?
I don't think so.
No.
Because we're looking at a static screen. usual stuff. Crystal projection. And as a static sort of disappears, we hear a voice say, "The Morning Jewel is recorded in front of a live studio audience, and we are popping into a bright lit room, sparse white walls, crystal chairs, maroon fucking everywhere, just so much maroon, so many cushions. It's outrageous how many cushions there are. In this room, we see a dwarven woman, hair in a tight bun, dark shrewd eyes, and a long pipe resting in her mouth, so much purple all over her outfit situation, and a trail of almost a purplish smoke, like a fuchsia, is rising up from the edge of the pipe. She's sitting in her own sort of crystal chair, the biggest of the lot, and there's almost a long sort of coffee table in front of her. And we see there's three chairs set on this set for the Morning Jewel. And we see those chairs are occupied by Jules LaRoche, Jean Franklin Montelio, and Blanche Trudeau."
All right. Yeah, we'll say
in.
So.
We're jumping in. We'll jump in, then we'll jump out and explain. But I'm not done jumping in yet, because I gotta say this. "Welcome to the Morning Jewel. We always start our days off brilliantly, and today we have such a surprise for you all. For the first time live on the network, we have Jules LaRoche, the Midnight Prince." She gestures over to you, Jules, and the live studio audience is going wild. What do you
know?
Do?
You made pants people happen. You're going to make this happen.
You don't coin your own nickname. I'm coining one for you.
Yeah, you can't give yourself a nickname. That's, you know.
I hate that so much.
How does Jules react to, like, this? Did you wave? Do you, like,
no.
Take this in?
No. No.
He just stares.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
If anything, he gives a nod. But probably not even that, no.
Hell yeah. Her hand sweeps beyond you to the next chair. Also in attendance is Jules' luminary partner, the turtle, Jean Franklin Montelio. So isn't that something? And Jean's just kind of can't really speak. His hand is shaking. He's got like a raised hand towards the crowd. Everyone's sort of cheering, not quite as loudly, but the cheering. He doesn't seem to notice. He's both elated and terrified in this moment, and probably like being glanced at from the elder turtle beside him as a Fubome turns towards the last guest, We also have Blanche Trudeau, folks. Not a luminary, but one of the heroes of Saint-Étienne. Really, this could not be crazier. Blanche, how you taking this in? The crowd starts cheering for you.
Thank you, Bubo.
Bubo?
Blanche said Bubo.
Jean shoots you the darkest glare. Flashback.
Keep your cool, Jean. You're on the network.
Let's talk about how we got here onto the network. This scene taking place is happening 2 days after your return from your brief adventure on Danitu. When you all arrived back to your homes and onto the Radiant Citadel, an invitation was waiting for each of you. A summons to the Morning Jewel, should you choose to accept. Now, I will say that Jean Franklin was immediately interested, but also just terrified. You guys saw how nervous he was in the Pigman's aura. And Blanche knows that Jean is secretly a huge fanboy of Fubo Mei. I mean, who isn't? Not only is she an incredible host, she's also the very mother of Fu Liling, the teapot mage considered to be the second-ranked luminary in the modern era. Pretty big deal. And Jean is shaking nervous, wants to puke nervous, David nervous about this whole scenario. But he's also excited, partially because he can meet some of his heroes. He can get out in front of the people, but partially because he's considering spilling all the dirt he knows during the show, everything he knows about his father, about the Kings of Coin and their little conspiracy, the murder he's apparently found evidence of. But he's also worried about the lack of that evidence. Even the very paper he told you about, Blanche, that he wrote, that his father had written, he had left where he found it, as he didn't want to tip off old Di Piero Montelio to the discovery of this information. Jean has nothing physical, just what he can say. But he wants to say it. He wants so badly to see justice done. He's eager, dangerously eager. And I'll ask you, how did you guide him in this, Blanche? Because he told you everything. He asked you to come. He's nervous to do this alone. And whether he's spilling the beans or not, he really, really wants you there.
Would a tadpole announce itself before investigating the Viper's Nest? Or would he take them by surprise?
I see. Yes.
If you plan to investigate this, it might be best to go in discreetly.
You must know, sir. This is not the only invitation I have received. Father and his heir have been asked to, well, a certain party on the first day of the March of Vice, a few days from now. This is my chance. If all of the kings and all of their merchant princes, their heirs, are in attendance, there must be evidence there as well. There must be a way, someone I can turn.
If you announce your intentions live on the network, the Kings of Coin won't let you get close. They may even order me to keep you away.
Yes, yes, you're right. Very well, then I shall stay clean of this dirty business for now. Until I know more, until I can truly get them into the sky prison with a lot, right? Right, sir?
Well, I suppose all that remains to be seen, Jean. That is quite the task you have given yourself, and I hope you're wrong.
We move forward in this flashback because another thing that you all are privy to, some big information that all of you, I imagine, know at this point, is information about Tythos. Demi Lich, Mateo Cortez, swore to you that the residents of Tythos never entered the domain of death. The world in its entirety is alive. Now, after the storm was seen destroying it, after communication with it was fully brought down, the gemstone pulled into the keening gloom, it was assumed that everyone had died. Investigations from the speakers were said to have been made, and they released just the sure knowledge that the world itself, every resident there, was pronounced dead. But if that's not true, I mean, this is information that could shake up the worlds. And you all have a reason to believe it is not true. Do any of you intend to use this opportunity in front of the very public of the worlds? Maybe feel it out and see if there's a chance to drop this bomb?
Before Jeremy answers, I'm just going to say that this is not Blanche's bag. Blanche is not saying anything about that.
I think Jean feels the same. So no pressure there, Jules LaRoche.
I haven't properly thought this through.
Hey, that's how we do it here on Fantasy
Going in
Pants.
Blind.
We always never properly think things through. You don't need to say anything now.
Yeah, listen to Danny.
Is she asking about it? Are we going to continue conversation?
I'm just curious what your intentions are before we go into this, what you're, But you don't need to say. You can just play it out. Feel it out.
Play it out.
Let the moment happen. Okay. Play it out. I will say, too, because I want to make sure you guys have reasons for being here. I don't want to just put you here. So there's one other reason you might have come. So on top of all this, there is pay to be made. The Morning Jewel will be airing ads for your sponsors. They do this for any luminary that comes onto the show. And so each of you, except John, because he's going to spend it all on sushi right afterwards, he doesn't get money anymore, will receive 100 gold just for showing up.
Oh, baby.
Well, you're not a luminary, but you got, again, you're a representative of a merchant king. I mean, his wares get shown, you get money. It just makes sense.
Right. The only way Blanche would agree to go would be if her employer asked her to go.
I mean, DePiero, honestly, because John asked you, and I think, like, DePiero, I would hear maybe about this and be like, yeah, go ahead. Make sure the boy doesn't do anything too foolish.
Sure.
Always keep an eye on him. I think he's been very cold towards John since he left, but, like, there's definitely an element of he's worried. He cares.
Right.
So, realistically, you actually should have gained some sponsor money from that last arc, too, that little rumble on Dana, too. But,
yeah, what's up with that, David?
Yeah, well, you see, actually, Handsome Jai happened to propose during that time, and the news just blew up over it. So, like, your little venture kind of basically went unnoticed under all that buzz. So, how unfortunate. So,
You're such a dick.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Anyway,
I used a potion back there.
Yeah. And you got a potion. It was a better potion. There you go.
You almost died.
Yeah, I almost died.
Almost died.
Isn't almost dying its own reward?
No, that was...
It's not about money, Steven. It's about friendship. And so we flash, boom, back to a scene with just too much maroon, too many cushions, and Fubo May looking at you all.
So how you all doing? You excited to be here today on my show? This is your first time really being out in the front, right? Like in the public? It's very exciting, very exciting.
I know Blanche or John is going to have to take the lead on this because Jules ain't saying shit right now.
All right, not big talkers in general. That's fine. We'll do more direct question asking. That's great.
Blanche, who has like no business being here, is going to look down the couch, see these two frozen.
John just...
I've been in higher pressure situations before, Fufu, but I've never been on the network.
All right, well, we'll work on that. The name, it's Fubo. It's fine. It's all right. All right.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to warm you all up, all right? It's fine, darlings. Don't you worry about it. Jules, Mr. Jules LaRoche, we got a question for you, if that's okay.
Now. Yeah, sure.
The people have been asking. It's all been all the hype lately. There's a rumor that the Midnight Prince has himself a lover on Sansa Tian. Some have even specified a certain luchadora, eh? Are these rumors true, Mr. Midnight Prince? Is there a Midnight Princess? Oh, I love it. So fun.
Fuck.
Stumped you guys all night. You're in for it. Dude, I am softballing you right now. You wait until I get rough. You wait.
Yeah, I don't really like to talk about my personal life.
Darn it. Well, all right. Your eyes say it all. You're in love. Look at those eyes. Ah, they shimmer. Oh my goodness. It's a shame you're taken because honestly, you're so handsome, darling. All right, well, let's move on. Another question then. Mr. Jean Franklin Montelier, let me ask you this. How did the heir to Zinda's fishing industry, a prince of coin, end up as sidekick to Zebulon Black and now luminary partner to Jules LaRoche? What a story. Let's hear it.
Quite
a story.
Blanche kicks Jean in the shin.
Indeed. Well, all right then.
Say indeed.
Jean, Blanche whispers to Jean, your pits are sweating.
Jean is like, he just kind of shuts down. He's up to retreat into his shell a little bit. Just
tighten up, soldier.
Brace for riptide.
He kind of like, his head sort of sinks in.
Jean underwent a strict training regimen.
All right.
Back on his home world of Zinda. And he, wait, did I say it wrong?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Nuari is the homeworld, but Zinda...
Nuari,
people,
sure.
Honestly, people sort of almost see them as like, Zinda is Nuari.
Right.
The Golden Bay is sort of, yeah, you know, who cares about that place? Yeah.
And he took his training out into the world, and it's no surprise that he's rising to the top.
Hey, give me a persuasion check. I'm going to do a little bit of this. Every once in a while, I'll give you guys checks. You're wowing the crowd right now. We're going to see how you can build up your brand. Well, maybe. How'd it do?
8 on the die.
This is just a lukewarm reception towards John Franklin in general. I think Fuome kind of notices this and sees like, oh, they don't seem that interested. Okay. And she goes, all right, well, that's amazing. That's great. That's awesome. Lady Blanche, Master of Defense, huh? That's crazy. First of all, I just have to ask, darling, is that hair real? And who styles it? You look simply fabulous.
Well, yes, it's quite rare to see a turtle with hair, but, well, I shave it daily to keep it short. I don't want it to get in the way. And whatnot.
You shave it daily, that grows really fast then. Holy shit. Oops, my on the network, sorry.
Trim it, cut it.
Okay, that's what you meant.
It's part of my daily regimen. I keep it myself.
All right. Wow, well, this is hopping, folks. This is hopping. Would you mind if we skip we had the pleasantries here, but there's a lot of questions people want to know the answers to. They're a little more uncomfortable, if it's okay if I move into them.
Honestly, Fubu, I'd like to get this out of the way and done as soon as possible.
All right. Why are you here? It's so creepy. It's a ad for the fishing like king in the background. Like, ooh, this big old Golden Bay halibut. All right. Now, as I said, I hate to get uncomfortable, but Jules LaRoche, I have to ask. This has been a big question. Everyone's been ringing with it, and to hear it here would be great for us and for you to really get this out. Your family has been the subject of some great controversy following Samuel LaRoche's affiliations with Eastman Del Prado. And now it's well known that you left home at an early age to live among the streets of Cerule. Public opinion has always pegged you as some kind of deviant soul or whatever. But now we're all left wondering at the truth. Did you know about your father's involvement with criminals and demon worshippers? Did you leave to get away from all that? We're all wondering, are you actually the secret hero we've been waiting for all along? Are you our Prince Charming, Mr. LaRoche? Wink.
I'm surprised that there's still people out there that don't know. And those that don't, you better get fucking wise. Oh, can I swear?
I don't think you can swear on the network.
We try not to. We'll bleep it out.
Bleep it, yeah.
Jammy will bleep it out. Jammy's our editor. He's over there. Yeah, I post. Good. Excellent. Wow. I mean, this is... I want to pull at the string of the sweater, unravel it. What are we getting wise to, Mr. Jules? We know now that at least elements of your family have been involved in this cult and whatever. How about your cousin, your mother? We don't know about them yet, but maybe you could...
I don't have all the answers yet, and I need all of your help. Don't believe everything you're told. Question everyone in power.
There's like this grin growing on Fuome's face, like she realized this is hot. Yes. All right. Question everyone in power. I like it. Like who? Anyone in particular we wanna question? Mr. Jules, Mr. Midnight Prince.
Tythos is still out there somewhere. You are all being lied to. And the three of us, we can't do this alone.
The crouch. All right. Oh my goodness. It's heating up the room.
Question those in power. Make them tell you the truth.
I want a persuasion check from you. I want a persuasion check from you here. The crowd is going wild. Which way are they going? Are they? Do they hate this? This is inflaming them? Are they getting into
it? Do you know what my persuasion is?
It's pretty high.
Fucking plus 10.
All right, let's see it.
So that's a dirty 20.
Nice.
I mean, the crowd. Rah, 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 no. Fume looks out and like they're going wild, but you see there's almost like chanting. They look excited. They look interested. They look like you're bringing this to the forefront of their minds. You're getting them into it. I think Fume sees this and almost like puts a hand up like, this is almost dangerous. Like, all right, that's great.
No, this is serious.
It is. It's very serious. Oh, this is great stuff, but we just...
Mine, yours, and everybody's future depends on this. Ask questions.
All right.
Don't sit back. The only way we're going to do this is if we're all doing this together.
And there's just this long sort of stun. It's like even the crowd just goes silent. Jean's out of his shell now, just staring at you. Ask questions. Yeah, yes. I should ask another question.
Jules stands up and walks off.
You're starting to walk away?
I think the real question is, how did you get this job, Miss Lucho May?
You begin to walk off the stage, and she's just kind of sitting there stunned, like, all right, and she stops. You see, there's like almost a little crystal like piece in her ear. Wait, Mr. Loesch, wait. Stop him. And like some people just kind of move forward, like just like sort of halting your way, not doing anything, just kind of stand at the edge of the stage. And she's right now.
Who's in your ear?
Really, right? All ratings. I can't exactly say no. Okay. She turns, but before you like moving out, I think like you're stepping over towards the curtain to like leave through the back. And there's this sensation. This pressure that halts you in your place before you push through. And you hear Fuwei behind you go, ladies and gentlemen, we have a sudden, very exciting turn of events. Despite years of trying, this will be the first time that this new guest will have ever appeared on our show.
Uh-oh. You got any guesses?
Let's see what music he's got queued up first.
I mean, I'm guessing Atash would be horrible.
Yeah.
She looks
Atash
up
or
towards the top.
Music, I know.
Martine, you can dim the lights. Go ahead, dim it all. He,
fuck.
Sort of brings his own spotlight.
Yeah.
And you see light. As the room dims, you see light begin to glow behind the curtain that you stand before. A silhouette moving along with it. Stepping right before you. And the curtain opens as a great radiant form pushes through. Ladies and gentlemen, the king of Ankaran Sengar, the first luminary, the hand of the Sunweaver, Atash! And the crowd goes absolutely ballistic, Jules. You stand in front of Atash.
Blanche is standing and doing a little golf clap.
Jean's back in his shell.
Atash? To attention, soldier.
Yes, sir. Atash freezes. He is tall. Like 10, 11 feet, almost as tall as the pig man. His eyes are just this pool of burning luminescence. His wings, these great sort of flames that give off no heat, but so much light, so much pressure. He looks down towards you. Do you say anything?
Are you leaving the show? I thought it had only just started. Please, I've been wanting to meet you. Midnight Prince. I make an effort to introduce myself to heroes of note and renowned, the good people who will change our worlds for the better. I see so much good in you.
He holds out a hand to shake.
Can I roll insight on that?
This is like an immense moment. And I think you see people behind you too. Remember this, Atash is beloved. And everything that happens here, it creates your image. It forms what the public thinks of you. Right now, there's this strange sort of defensive position where your family is seen as demon worshippers. And maybe there's an undercurrent of people who think Jules might be following suit as well. This might be a good thing. And yes, you can roll insight.
13.
Could Jules do the same?
Yeah, absolutely.
No. 4 on the die.
You look up at these eyes and he's smiling He's actually quite charming. There's a charisma to his presence, almost like he also has a plus 10 charisma bonus.
I was going to say, yeah, I was like, there's no way we're going to get that anyway. Bitch,
yeah. Almost like that. He's just smiling down at you.
Jules will not shake his hand. He will walk back to the chair. But as he walks, he looks out to the crowd. People in power. And then sits back down.
Those burning eyes hold no pupils, yet there's an impression that they are following your every step as you move to your seat. Atosh steps fully out before the crowd.
Greetings!
Everyone goes absolutely wild. Fuome is like her hand shaking. This is an upset she never expected on this show. And Atosh turns towards her, steps slowly across towards her.
My Lady Fuome, I thank you graciously for allowing me to come upon your stage. Perhaps you would like a break. I thought it could be fun were I to host the show in your stead. I'm sure our guests would not mind.
Mr. Atosh, this is largely unusual.
Those burning eyes just staring.
Yeah, fun. It'll be fun. I'll get some refreshments for you. Just a wave if you need anything at all.
Blanche, and she sort of looks to you guys, eyes believing, and starts to
Blanche
scurry
reaches
away.
Out and grabs Fubo's arm as she passes by and pulls her in for a whisper.
What?
I don't get it. Is it like two names? Or is it all one altogether?
I'm going to skip giving you refreshments.
Just falls away. Oh. Atosh.
What the fuck are you doing, David?
What am I doing? Atosh goes to sit in the seat that Fuome had just been occupying. It is a large seat for this dwarven woman. For Atosh, it is ridiculously small. He barely sort of... his legs sort of folded outwards as he just tries to squat down into it. And yet he somehow seems to fill it with such majesty. It doesn't look comical. It looks terrifying.
I have seen you all before. I have saved you all before, yet we have never formally met. I am Atosh, and I am pleased to meet some of our world's most heroic figures. I suppose I should think of a question.
Jean is like stammering, terrified. How are you guys holding up? This is a weird moment. This is an unexpected turn. What is it? How is it affecting these characters?
I'm sorry, Steven.
For what?
For doing this.
Oh boy. Well, I was going to say that, you know, Blanche is fairly military-minded. I don't think she's not losing her cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Jules has his just blank, defiant stare on Atosh.
He looks between you all.
A question. You are heroes. So tell me, what does heroism mean to you?
Blanche will stand up to answer. Quite simple, really. I believe that heroism is doing what is right and protecting those who can't protect themselves. And she bows deeply and sits down.
He nods. That impression of a gaze falls on Jean, who, I think maybe for some prodding, also stands up.
Yes. Honor and law. And, of course,
he just full passes out. Collapses back into the chair.
Convenient.
Oh, no. Looks like my character can't talk to my character. Oh, man.
Funny how that happens.
Atosh nods again, but, like, less so. Turns to you, Jules. Do you have an answer to this question that's not going to get you all killed? I'm just kidding. It's friendly. Hey, it's a talk show. What are you scared of?
Telling the truth.
His head cocks just a little.
Another fine answer. I do not know if it is bad form to answer my own question, but I feel a desire. To me, heroes stand as symbols. Our constructs stand as symbols. And the symbols we form forge peace, even through our inaction. Think of my sky prison, which the unwise might call immoral. The very idea of this construct strikes fear into the hearts of would-be criminals. Without even lifting a finger to point in their direction, I halt them in their tracks. I save lives. I believe a hero is determined not by their actions, not by their beliefs, but by their impression upon the worlds, by their very gravity.
And what about those who abuse it?
There is ever space in the sky prison for those deserving. You helped me. You helped me to root out the evils that plagued San Sityan and the world.
Like Pigman?
Yes, exactly.
Why don't you tell these people all about that and let them decide for themselves?
You would defend the Etin. That's right, the Etin. The crowd. Yes.
I'm just trying to get them the truth.
The truth of the monster that hides behind a mask? Now, I believe there was very footage of Pigman himself trying to murder you, Blanche Trudeau. And who was it that saved you from that certain demise?
It was not his fault. He, in that sense, he cannot defend himself.
And nor can the innocent against the wrath of the powerful.
So you send them away instead of helping?
Those who commit crimes deserve no help.
How long?
I prefer to see the innocent.
How long will you hold him? The Pigman. Who we all know and love, I believe, and
the crowd is booing.
Ooh.
The crowd, the network has not been kind to the Pigman. He has been colored as one of the instigators behind everything wrong with San Sityan, everything wrong with the sort of upper society, the sort of schism there. And he's been colored as a monster. A true monster. The persona of the Pigman, everyone says, was just an act. Hiding the brutal creature within. Are they wrong? Do you think they're wrong? Atosh doesn't. You could see that in his gaze. This is a firm belief. And the worlds are better off because you, Blanche Trudeau, revealed this monster for what he was.
Oh my goodness, I have no idea what to say to Atosh.
This is the first time this conversation has happened. You've seen Atosh. You've never truly spoken with Atosh. Why here? Why now? Why? Fubume said that this has never happened before.
Let me ask you this, Blanche Trudeau. You were an apprentice of the Storm Eye, a known terrorist. Would you see him imprisoned as well? I knew the Storm Eye as you did. I liked him. But I would not halt for a second to see him behind bars for an eternity. And to answer your earlier question, for crimes committed and for cavorting with the forces of demons, the Pigman will be held for 500 years.
500 years or an eternity. Those punishments are not helpful. They are brutal.
Roll persuasion.
We're
in a battle now, though.
Yeah, I'm
gonna.
So
I'm also going to roll persuasion.
All right, I'm gonna use a button.
This
Wait,
is a
am
battle.
Am I really gonna use a button? Fine.
Yeah.
It's
how about
plus
this?
Zero? I'm yeah, gonna use a button.
If you use a button, I'm gonna give him for disadvantage.
Whoa. Okay.
Wow.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Okay. Holy shit.
Man, that's three buttons across the table.
This is too important. I think.
Yeah. We need someone on our side.
Yeah.
David's really good at making enemies for us.
Yeah.
Not an enemy you want to make today.
First roll's an 18 on the die, and it's just a plus zero, so. 18's the high.
He does. No, wait, no. Sorry, I rolled once. I have a disadvantage.
You have disadvantage.
I did beat you. Let's see if I still beat you.
Yeah, because it's charisma, and he's got a plus 10 or something.
It's a very close thing. He does edge out.
Son of a bitch.
But I think
sorry,
in this...
I can't swear on the network.
I think in this, though, with it being close, like, it's not like an overwhelming surge of applause towards him and sort of booing towards your sort of, like, pointing out faults of his. I think there's some people that... kind of, like, yelling out towards you angrily. But there are people in the back, people muttering quietly to each other. They maybe see righteousness in your words.
Think of your worst enemy, she says, addressing the crowd. Who has done you so wrong that you would see them punished for an eternity? All of time? There is... I can think of no crime.
When a murderer takes the life of someone's partner, is not the widow left with an eternity of suffering? Is it not equal to steal from them what they've stolen from others in the pursuit of justice?
But what about those who were manipulated and controlled to do those things? What about those who were forced to become an abomination?
Right and wrong is always a choice.
What if the perpetrator was not just a mask, but a puppet?
Then they should have cut their strings before harming others. Always there is a choice. Always there are consequences for the wrong choices. This is law. This is right.
I hate this. This is really hard.
This is a tough one for you guys.
Are you saying that you're the one that gets to say what's right and what's wrong?
Yes. I am the hand of the Sun Weaver. A greatest god himself chose me to step in the world's time of need to guide them in the right direction. And guide I shall.
Jules looks out to the audience, looks at some random guy. You want him telling what's right for you?
Guy just kind of, don't look at me.
Come on, give me someone with a little more confidence.
Guy looks at him and goes, I don't know, maybe.
Isn't that for you to decide?
I sure didn't choose. Sunweaver who?
Yeah, what world do you come from?
I'm from, what's the world? Shankavumi, sir.
Okay. Do you worship the Sunweaver?
No, our rivers are sort of our deities.
Jules moves on to the next guy. Where are you from?
I'm from Zing.
Do you worship the Sunweaver?
No, just the spirit of the land and the ancient ones.
Moves on to the next guy. What about you?
You're testing me on all my lore here. This is tough.
Hold on, let him grab his notebook.
I'm from Santatian. Hey, it's... I saw you there. I don't know.
So why are you letting the Sunweaver have any power over you guys? Who do you worship?
Look, Katrina, I think Atosh cuts in here.
Luminaries. Luminaries stand as the modern paragons. Luminaries decide what is right and wrong because we are chosen by the people. Who chose me to be a luminary?
Yes, luminaries that do their work for all the worlds, not for just their own.
You would lecture me on what is right. Very well, let us move on to another question. This is so fun. Is it not fun?
Kind of raises his hands up.
I have a question more specifically directed for you, Jules LaRoche. I would like to know why you lie so blatantly to the public. Where is Tythos? I would think following investigations that you could take the speaker's word on the fate of your world. I understand it is hard to accept that you have lost your home, your friends. But heroes must face harsh realities.
None of them showed up on the other side. Explain that.
And you were on the other side to bear witness?
What happens on Santatian?
Yo. Do we have the recording diamond?
Yes, Jules does.
Because I don't think we've...
Oh.
because Zebulon was the one
said
who...
that.
What happens on San Sebastian every year?
I believe I am hosting the show. If you're to ask a question, why not answer it yourself?
Okay. Jules takes out the diamond. The recording diamond. Are we doing this?
Fuck yeah.
There is a camera, a sort of projector, kind of facing this. I think that's kind of one of the things they have on set, because they're going to have like slideshow stuff on the white wall behind. You can move over and slide it into place.
He does just that.
You cut to the point where Zebulon speaks of Mateo's words. So you know where it is. You've probably watched this footage before a few times. You cut it down, you edit it, you hit that point. First time this perhaps has been shown on the network. And it boots to life. Zebulon's words play out. The crowd, silent. Atosh stands before it. And goes off.
I take it back immediately.
I think maybe this is just a pause. He's like, it's just.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what Atosh is like.
Yeah.
What's his reaction like?
Roll insight. Holy shit. It's hard to read. His face is like
right, totally.
Generally kind of a slight smile, very easy.
It's a 19 for Jules.
Yeah, single digits.
His brow twitches just a little bit above his eye. Something has annoyed him here.
How convenient. So we are to believe the word of a dead man who spoke to another dead man. Impossibility upon impossibility. And through this, we will question the trustworthiness of the speaker's own investigator. Whoever it was that initially declared the world's destruction, you do not think this was seen into, you do not think this was investigated properly? You would question this person?
That's what Jules has been saying all along, to question those in power, including yourself. Why should we believe you more than we should believe Zebulon?
Because the person who investigated
because
this
we'll
matter
be imprisoned
for the speakers
if we don't?
Me!
Just this last falls over the room.
I am the one who declared the death of Tythos. My men investigated fully and completely. It is truth. Perhaps your footage is correct. Perhaps the souls of those destroyed were destroyed as well. Perhaps there was no afterlife beyond the keening gloom, a fate worse than death. Is this what you wish to broadcast to the worlds?
Well, you tell me, who would deserve a fate worse than death? All those innocent people on Tythos?
They deserve nothing, but we all deserve to know the truth. I would love to see.
Why do they deserve nothing? Explain that.
They deserve nothing bad. You would put words in my mouth, Jules LaRoche.
No, you're the one doing the talking.
Roll persuasion checks again. See where the crowd's at.
Oh, God.
Bad? Sounds bad.
Bad?
Natural one.
Oh.
Someone makes a hoarse noise in the.
Is it too late for Blanche to argue the help action, maybe? I mean, she's been arguing with him.
Say something cool, and I'll give it to you.
I've been saying cool stuff.
Say something cool again. I'm just going to give it to you. You say cool things, but
so you come here prophesizing eternity in prison and no afterlife? Why should anybody listen to what you have to say?
Take the help action. I'll take the help action.
All right. Advantage for whatever that was.
16.
Still. They're not neighing anymore. They got over that fast. But now they're just kind of going, like, whispers, quiet. There's some sort of a rising sort of cheer for Atosh in the back. He looks taller, brighter, more smug.
You are free to say what you will. Spread what lies you will. I simply wanted to come before you.
Turns towards, like, the crystal cameras on the wall points.
The worlds. I want to tell you the truth. That Jules LaRoche would harm you, spread lies, give you false hope. That is my only goal. Cut that space out.
But now I can't.
Damn it.
His gaze sort of sweeps the room, his arms outstretched. The people begin to sort of like start cheering his name. Atosh, 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 Atosh. And with sort of a sweeping sort of step, he begins to move to the side. Fuome starts walking back with a tray of, like, of I don't know, goblets with some sort of delicious-looking sparkly liquid on the inside, maybe golden sort of...
Blanche is making the, like... like she's running her hand across her throat, like, nah, nah, wrong time, wrong time.
He takes one. Just like big fingers on one.
Thank you, Fubo Peep.
And just takes. All
it's
right.
Confusing. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Just one last shot of that. He looks towards you guys.
I thank you for allowing me to intrude upon your interview. It really has been fun.
He begins to walk away.
Jewel stands up.
Oh?
And what about your intrusion on Sansa Tion?
He stops.
What are you still doing there? That belongs to the people of Sansa Tion.
The people of Sansa Tion elected leaders that betrayed them. I lost soldiers.
That's not
to save them.
It's not your world. It's not for you to go in there and take over. And Jules again looks to the guys in the front. You want Atash to come and take over your world?
Oh man, the battle's not over. Woo! Oh, a second win, second surge. Okay. Atash, he's like at the curtain, he has his hand on it. And he sort of lets us list. He sort of sweeps around. The people in the front are kind of looking at each other.
Don't you think you all should have your own voice in your own world? Good or bad, it's yours, not his.
And if my voice saves lives, corrects injustices,
it's you still deny your it? Voice, it's not theirs.
He begins to move back towards you. Slow steps, this towering figure, so bright you could barely take it. He seems to be shining brighter and brighter. I want persuasion check from you.
I want to give the help.
What are you doing?
Action.
Say something cool again.
I will say something cool, like, right now.
Yeah.
Well, at least they were elected. I can't say the same for you.
Some of the crowd goes, oh, shit!
You're an asshole.
Yeah, take advantage.
Oh.
No, I do like that. I do like that.
29.
That's really high.
There we go. Now we're playing a game.
Hey, let's have fun with this. Let's put the old port-a-pain right in the middle of
the table. Oh my
god, the
fucking port-a-pain has been crushing all night.
I have a plus 10. I'm using the full metal captain's die, and I have been crushing with these rolls pretty well.
Stop.
Will I crush this one?
Nope.
You will not.
What is it?
4 on the die.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. The guy in the crowd goes, oh, shit. And maybe like.
That's right. He wasn't elected.
But like, you have this moment, like the two of you, Atash and Jules, their voices sort of colliding over each other in this moment.
Dude, I love just this image of like people watching on the TV. The camera's just centered on each side. You got Atash, Jules.
It's the ultimate anime moment. Just like close up of eyes to close up of eyes.
And I think like murmurs in the crowd just like, how long is he going to be on Sansa Tion? He wasn't elected, and they're not even from Sansa Tion.
I suppose tonight you'll be announcing the elections. Isn't that why you came here, Atash?
When the world is ready, we will move on.
The people have decided the world is ready.
The people can't be trusted to govern the...
And, like, there's a... Like, an overall gasp. He just kind of turns and looks out towards everyone.
Oh, shit. Jewel says.
You can't swear on the network.
Guy in the crowd goes, oh, shit again.
Sai, you either.
We simply wish to create a support system for the coming government.
You can wish all you want. It doesn't give you a right to enact your wishes.
We saved Sansetian. We saved Sansetian.
That doesn't give you Sansetian.
You stand here celebrating for what? What did you do, Blanche Trudeau? What did you really do?
I acted honorably. Can you say the same, Atosh? I think that was a good one.
That was a really good line.
Nice.
Fuck yeah. David's brain is broken.
I think, honestly, there may be a spot, like, he just pauses. The crowd is starting to turn. There's a wave, a momentum that's pushing against Atosh. This is not something he's generally accustomed to. And you can see that there's, like, this sensation almost looks alien to him. The way he kind of turns and looks towards the crowd, looks at their sort of confused, sort of scared expressions. There's a building anger behind those eyes, and he can sense it. He can feel it. And he looks back to you guys.
I do hope we can communicate again like this. It has been enlightening. But I am a busy man. I have worlds to govern, lives to save. And I must go.
Atosh once again turns, begins to leave. And another voice sort of stops him in his step again. John Franklin, starting to rise up out of his seat.
What of law? You speak of law, but did you not disobey the very laws that hold our conquered sacred when you invaded Sansetian? Is this some gray area, some middle ground? Is this your law?
He stands up sort of before Atosh. He's trembling, terrified.
I'm trying to understand. I truly want to understand what is right, what is honor, and what is law. Who does it serve? And who did it serve when you invaded Sansetian? Who did it serve when you broke the law? Atosh!
Way to go, Tadpole.
Wow.
Way to go.
There's a frozen moment here. Do you guys have anything to add?
Jules turns out to the audience. Takes a couple steps forward, looks around, lights beaming on his face, beads of sweat coming down his forehead. Free Sansetian.
What?
Blanche puts her fist up in the air. Free Sansetian.
Free Sansetian.
Jean raises his fist up beside yours.
What? You would...
Free Sansetian.
Free Sansetian!
Free Sansetian!
Free Sansetian!
Free Sansetian! Free Sansetian! Free Sansetian! Free Sansetian! Free Sansetian! Free Sansetian! Free Sansetian!
I tried to help.
And amidst this cheer, amidst this clamor, Atosh took one last look around. His gaze falling on you one last time, and there is something hot, burning hot beyond the fire in those eyes as he leaves the room, steps behind the curtain, lets it fall behind him. And as he leaves, the radiance in the room fades. Darkness falls over everything.
As the darkness falls over, Jules says, if we go missing,
holy shit,
you know where to find us.
I think Fuome sort of stumbles back onto the stage. The light sort of come back in again, just
alright, well, then I think maybe we should just, we got a pretty rowdy crowd here, maybe we should just let this alright, hey, well, this has been the Morning Jewel. Alright, we'll call it there.
I just accidentally make him like the next sex symbol,
dude. Yeah, seriously, it's like okay, cool. I'm rolling Cruise with Advantage.
We see
now.
Billboards with Atosh.
Yeah.
What's that? A third leg? Oh my god! No!
Did we get that? Did we get any of that?
Yeah, we got that.
Hell yeah,
we got that. Post credits.
Oh my god. Okay.